You don't need to be working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I know plenty of lash artists, they become a victim of their business. But business, the way I look at it, it's like a machine. You can either mold it to operate like on its own to be ease and bring you that energy and that time and the finances, or you can build it into a monster that is literally going to suffocate you, like eat mm-hmm. you alive. And that's the point that I was at. My business was eating me alive.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe.
Hi, Lash Nerds. Welcome back to another Untamed episode. Today, we have a really special guest. And I know every guest that we have on is extremely special. But today's guest is also a personal friend of mine and was also my trainer. So me and her have a lot of history. And I also know her story really well. So I've been encouraging her to bring her story forward and share on as many platforms as she can. And today, I want her to share her story on our platform because I think that it's truly an inspiring story for all of us. And that person, you probably know her as well because she's an OG lash artist who has won many awards and very well known, especially in Canada. And that's Leah from Leah Lash Pro. Welcome, Leah, to our podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
No, it's an honor to have you. And I know that, like, although a lot of us, like for me, obviously, personally, I know you really well, but maybe there's some listeners out there that don't really know you too well or haven't heard of you. Could you give us a little brief intro, a little bio about you, who you are, you know, what you do and what you're passionate about?
A little intro?
A little intro,
I will try to sum up a decade into a couple of sentences. But
sounds good.
But basically, I started as a hairstylist while I was working at a hair salon. I got trained to do eyelash extensions back in 2013. So I do consider myself an OG in the lash industry. Ended up becoming relatively known in Canada due to my skill set. I started training, private trainings, group trainings, have trained over 600 students in person. And then, all over Canada and United States. And I also ended up opening up a salon. I had my own product line for a few years. And once the pandemic hit, I kind of decided to change it up a bit and leave everything behind and move to another country with my kids. So I'm here in Costa Rica at the moment. I still run my business, my Leah Lash Pro business. I have online training program. I have a dual certification program with educators across Canada and the United States. And I also started business mentorship for other beauty professionals.
Wow, what an intro. Yeah, you did a great job summarizing a decade into a few sentences. But don't worry, guys, this podcast is all about teasing that few sentences into the story because there's so much nuances in your story. I know that personally, I know that there is a lot of ups and downs in your story as well. A lot of the nuances in the story that maybe the industry don't talk a lot about, and especially, you know, what we see as an outsider into peering into your career, it's one of very, very successful career, one that everyone aspire to have. But I know that there's hardship as well. And our conversation is all about that. It's about being real with our audience and bringing them the truth and the authentic, you know, version of everyone's story and letting them kind of take away the wisdom from the nuances. So the best way to start the story is starting it from the beginning, right? You have mentioned that you became pretty well-known in a short period of time. Paint us that picture. How did you get, we know you got into the industry through like hair, but how did you kind of become so well-known in such a short period of time? Because I can speak for myself. When I was looking for an educator, it was really important for me. It's a personal value of mine as a nerd to seek the best of the best educator. And when I was doing my research at the time, it was through referral as well as Instagram. You were popping up as dramatically better, like noticeably better of an educator and work than majority of the educators I see out there, the way you marketed yourself, the way you presented yourself. So can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Well, it started with, first of all, I didn't have a plan B. When I got trained in eyelash extensions, the reason why I left the hair industry was because of the time, you know, like just being away from my son. My son was very young at the time and I was just working all the time at, you know, and I couldn't even pick him up from school, couldn't even drop him off. So I needed to be self-employed. I needed to have a job that allows me to drop him off in the mornings and pick him up during the day, which I'm sure a lot of moms listening to this podcast can relate. And there really is no other job out there that will allow you to do that unless you're self-employed. So there was only one option for me, make it or make it. So what I did is I studied, you know, my idols and people that I looked up to every single day for hours. I would just stare at their pictures, at their work, like, how is it? Why do they do this? What? Oh my God, they're using this curl. Oh my God, look at the inner corner. And also me being myself as a client, I would go to different people and I would learn from all the mistakes that they would make. Like one of the reasons why I became so OCD on inner corners is because they would never cover my inner corners. I'm like, why? Like, it just completes the whole look. So I did become a perfectionist, you know, very, very high attention to detail. It allowed me to provide quality work. And I was never after the money. I was always after making sure that my clients are obsessed with the results. And this allowed me to really gain a clientele really fast. My work became very recognized. And my clients stayed with me. So within 4 months of starting my career, I became solid booked and I already had to raise my prices. So, but there was definitely a learning curve at the beginning. At the beginning, I sucked, you know, like I was really, really bad. And, you know, I was one of those girls that, you know, $90 lashes, nobody's coming. $60 lashes, nobody's coming. I'm like, what am I going to like charge McDonald's prices for lashes? So I had to really step back and improve the quality of my work in order to get the results that I was looking for.
Yeah, I know that like when I first met you, you know, just the way you were teaching me the attention to detail, like I skip all of that. Like I was never a lash artist who didn't care about the inner and outer corner. I started day one being someone who's very obsessive about full coverage and things like that because of your teaching. And I also started from day one with a certain mentality going into how I would price my services because of, you know, your experience and what you've learned. So I guess fast forward, you then become an educator because by the time I found you, it was 2016, I think, 2016, 2017. So you were already mostly educating at that time because most of your content, I saw that it wasn't clients, it was student. So what made you transition from being a lash artist to being an educator? And then tell us a little bit about your journey as an educator in our industry.
Well, I had no plans to become an educator, but I was fully booked. I was working 12 hours every single day. The demand was there. People were asking me like, hey, are you training? Are you training? And I'm like, oh, not at the moment, not at the moment. And then one day I'm like, let me just do it. You know, so I felt like I would have been a good educator just because I'm a good educator because I'm a bad student, if that makes sense. So the reason why I teach with so much detail is because I need all of those details in order to perform well. So everything I wasn't told to do, it made me realize like this is what students need to be told. Thankfully, I've produced a lot of students. You know, obviously it's not me. I will never take my credit for other people's success, but a lot of my students definitely felt motivated and inspired and they had a good foundation to begin with. And a lot of my students are now educators, successful salon owners, have their own product line, and basically were able to leave their corporate jobs and become six-figure lash artists and more. So definitely a lot of training did result in referrals as well. So when you train one, you know, you get another two from them. So yeah, I was very fortunate in that sense.
What do you think, just for our listener who are listening? We've always talked about this in the podcast, right, Anne-Marie? We said that not everyone is meant to train, even right, though the narrative in the industry is pushing you to, okay, if you become a great lash artist, then you have to train. So I want to hear from you, Leah. Who are the people who you think it's a good fit to become an educator? And who are some people who aren't, like, shouldn't become an educator and maybe pursue different avenues in, you know, growing their career in the industry?
I think the main qualities of being a good educator is you need to understand different personalities, definitely like interpersonal skills, and knowing how to teach, not just what to teach, but how. Because there's so many students out there and everybody has different ways to learn. Some people learn by reading. Some people learn by watching things. Some people learn hands-on. Some people listening. So my way of teaching was always to intertwine all those different strategies into one and to really pay attention to what works for the student. And if I needed to, I was never scared to get physical. Like if they didn't hold the hands, I would grab their hands and I would reposition it and I would adjust the tweezers in their hands. So I think you have to have a passion for that. You have to have a high attention to detail to know if a student is doing something wrong. You don't just, how do I say this? You're not an educator to feed your own ego and to be successful and make money for yourself. You're an educator to create results in your students, if that makes sense.
I love that.
So that was kind of my approach. I knew that with the right passion and with the right mindset, money always comes. So my first most important thing was to create results within my students.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think that being an educator is absolutely so rewarding, but it's also extremely exhausting. And now you actually took your training to an extreme where you were training very, very often. So how did you go? Now we understand like you were lashing, went into training. How did that take off for you where you were training up to 4 times a week?
I'll say it. The money was good. The money was really, really good. You know, when you can make $1,700 in a day and then do it 4 times a week, you know, it's very hard to say. It's very hard to say no to that. But at the time, I didn't really know anything about working smarter and not harder. I didn't have mentors. I didn't have successful people around me that could give me advice and tell me, hey, you're doing this or you're doing that wrong. I come from an immigrant family. You know, we came here with nothing, with 2 luggages and just $10,000. And we had to start from scratch. We were very, very broke. I remember our first couch was the couch that somebody threw out on the street and we picked it up. We used to buy clothes from a secondhand store. So when you experience that kind of money, it's really hard to say no to it. And yeah, that was, it definitely led to a lot of burnout, I will have to admit.
Yeah, this is where I want to get into it. It's what are the sacrifices and at what cost did this, you know, money come at? Because in our industry, we preach, you know, the six-figure income. We preach the success that it's measured by money and the dollar that comes into your bank account, right? But I'm a firm believer that that comes at a cost. And you just have to know that if that's a cost, that's worth paying for. So what cost did it, I guess, cost you to gain all those money?
For me, the biggest cost is time that you can't bring back. And you can always change up your life and fix it and learn from your mistakes. But one thing that you can't bring back is, as a mother, is the childhood, you know, the childhood of my son. I would say that for the first like 4 years while I was working, my son was very, very young and I wasn't there. You know, like when he would ask me, Mama, hey, can you take me to the park? I'm like, no, I'm working. So even though I did enable myself the freedom to pick him up from school, to drop him off from school, I still wasn't there. You know, I was always working at nighttime and I see the results even to this day. My son is a little bit like independent in a way that I don't want him to be, you know, like he got used to mom not always being there. And it's all I knew at the time. You know, I was very, very young. And like I said, the money was very good and it was very hard to say no. And you don't know a lot of things. I wasn't into business and mindset at the time. I just saw my bank account growing and growing and growing and I liked it. And at the time, I thought that I was building something for the future. But then, you know, when the pandemic comes and how quickly it can take everything away from you, it just really made me realize that I need to stop focusing only on living for the future, because life is not guaranteed. You know, your health is not guaranteed. Today, your breathing is not guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. So I decided to kind of take a step back. And now I pursue a life that I can live in a moment more. And if something, God forbid, happens to me today, I had a fulfilling life. You know, you would never see me on my deathbed saying, oh, I regret, I wish I did this. I've done it all. You know, I understand the true meaning of riches and it's not money.
But before, you know, you arrived at this point in your life where you're feeling present and you're feeling there was still a lot in between as well. Because I know at one point, as outsider watching your career, I thought it just freaking exploded because, you know, you opened a salon and you also had your own product line, right? And was it all it looked like to us?
No. I kind of jumped into an area that I had no knowledge of, you know, like opening up a salon and starting my own product line. I just took so much more than I can handle. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to start a product line. You're supposed to become an international trainer, educator, and travel the world. And you're supposed to open up a salon. So I've learned a lot. And honestly, I think if I reached out and spoke to certain people, and at the time I had a lot of ego. I thought I knew it all. I was too stubborn to ask. I didn't know the power of asking people for help or advice or output. I think that would have shifted my mindset a lot, even if I asked other salon owners. Like, I asked other salon owners, actually. I'm like, okay, what do you think? Is it worth it? And very few of them actually told me yes. And even after hearing all of that, I still decided to open up a salon, because literally out of 5 people that I asked, like 4 of them said no. And I still did it. Wow. I still did it because I was supposed to. Yeah. You know, because I wanted that title, you know, like have a salon. And also the opportunity kind of fell on my lap. The place that I used to rent out for my group trainings, they were closing their salon. So I was supposed to take over their lease. So it's like, either take it right now or you're going to lose the opportunity. So I felt like if I don't take it in that moment, you know, it wasn't going to come. So I just kind of jumped into it and I'm like, okay, let's see what happens.
Do you mind sharing a little bit about why those salon owners said that it wasn't worth it to them, and then also your experience with it? Would you do it again? What advice would you give those who are looking to expand into a salon? Because it's something that personally for me, I'm not interested in doing again. I'm not going to say never, but it was a great journey at the time. But yeah, I'm on that same boat with them, where I would tell people they really need to assess and think through what they're getting themselves into.
So for me, business is all about not just financial transactions, but energetic transactions. So it's not about how much money you make, but how much time does that take from you, or how much energy. And we're limited with 24 hours in a day. We're limited with one body. Energy, there's only so much energy that we have. After a couple hours, it goes down. So I think you need to really preserve your energy and pay attention to what you're giving it. What is it that you're giving your energy to? So at the time, I wanted to do it all and I wanted to save up at the most, and I didn't want to invest in certain things. Or now the way I look at it is, I would rather take a smaller cut but be free, you know. So when it comes down to running a salon, I think having a manager, you know, someone to manage all of your staff and all of that, or even just like a proper training system, like when you hire people to work for you. I was like, oh yeah, let's train every Monday. I wish I just clocked out like a whole week or two and just strictly focus on training my staff, so that way they can take that weight off of me. So that way I'm not the most in-demand artist. But at the time, again, ego, you want to be the best, you know, a part of us, it's on a subconscious level that we want to be the best. And even though we say, oh, we need help, and our clients don't want to go to our staff. And I talk about with my mentees all the time, the same thing. It's, if you want to grow and you want to have your team make money for you, you have to make them the best. You can't hold on to all of your clients. You open up a salon, but you're still doing the same thing that you were working from home. So it involves a completely different mindset and perspective and business skills that we're not prepared to do. I think the best thing to do is ask as much questions as you can from people that have done it, that have been there, that have the experience, because it can save you a lot of time and a lot of money, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. I really resonate with that part when you said that it's not about monetary transaction, but energetic transaction. Because and also not all energy exertion feels the same too, because when you're doing something that is easier and more natural to you and it more aligned with you, you exert less energy versus something that you should and suppose. So speaking of that, I did hear earlier in your response that a lot of the other business avenue that you have started, like the product line and the salon, it's you should. You had a lot of should in your narrative. What I'm curious about is, where did that come from? Where did this narrative get built in your head? Because that's a narrative a lot of lash artists as well. So we really want to get to the bottom of it and tease apart, like, where did that come from?
Well, we look at other people in the industry and we see that's what they're doing. They have a product line and they have trainings and they have, you know, staff and they have all these things. But we don't realize that those are not some brands that are just doing everything on their own. These are brands that have dozens of people working from them. It's big companies, multi-million dollar companies. And I feel that a lot of, but people that work from home, you know, people that were like me in that position.
Solo entrepreneurs.
Yeah. You have to grow with the resources you have at the time and understand that just being an educator is a full-time job. Being a lash artist is a full-time job. Being a product developer is a full-time job. All these things are full-time jobs. So how are you expecting to have 3 full-time jobs in one job in 24 hours? Not even 24 hours, because we sleep half of it. People don't understand that. And they see. And a lot of people that are successful, or what we quote-unquote label success, they show that that's what we're supposed to do. But it doesn't mean so. I think that a lot of people can be successful if they choose one thing. Like, you decided to have your own product line only, and I have so much respect for you. You decided to cut off all the clients and cut off all the training and strictly focus, and look what you've done with it. You know, like, you've done so well. You built an amazing team and became this brand that people look up to, so genuine. One of the most humble brands in the lash industry. And it's because you were able to put all that energy and focus into that one thing. You didn't try to do it all.
Yeah.
Because if you try to do it all, it's not a lot of people can do it. It's a lot of work.
Very early on, I don't know where I heard this, but I just knew that in order for me to grow to the next step of my career is to fire myself where I am now. So I always tell, like, you know, my friends or, you know, people I mentor, I'm like, your goal should always, if you want to grow and scale and do follow some sort of trajectory in your career that you have planned for yourself, then you have to fire yourself as a lash artist. Then you got to fire yourself as an educator so that you have that space and the capacity and the bandwidth to do what's next. So this is the part where, you know, I want to paint a more real picture for people, because I think a lot of time what we do get to see is this highlight reel of the success, highlight reel of, you know, maybe the what success brought us materialistically or being able to travel around the world, and that gets talked about a lot. But, you know, if you don't mind us being just a little bit real with our audience here, is that I want to know, what are some of the things that happen behind the scene that people don't really see, that are some of the hardship that you were going through, even in the midst of these extraordinary success that people like me and Anne-Marie were witnessing on your social media platform?
I hit burnout multiple times. And I'm talking about from the morning you wake up, it's work, work, work till the moment you go to sleep, and every single day and no days off, just consistently working and working and working. And there's only so much our bodies can handle, only so much. And people don't realize how much it takes. And there really is like a secret. There really is a way to make your life more simple. But I think when you start out to kind of like scale to that next level, you don't know. Because like I said, unless you have family, friends, or someone as a guide to mentor you and to help you, you don't know what you're doing. You're just kind of like, let me try this, let me try that. And you're just trying to do it all, and business involves so much organization. And at the time, I didn't know, like, I signed up just to do lashes, you know, like, who thought I would need to run a business and learn all of these things, and photo editing and accounting and packing kits and ordering, and did they come on time, did they not? So much goes into it. This is like 1% that I'm just mentioning. A lot of it was learning curves and very expensive, very time consuming learning curves that, had I known what I know now, I would have been at a very, very different place, much higher, much faster.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's kind of a common theme that I see throughout your story, is this, like, in a way, it's a good thing that you have this confidence and this conviction in yourself that you can do it. But then there's also almost like a delusion that we can do it all. And I think that that's been preached a lot to us. And sometimes that, I think that can be like a little bit dangerous. At what point did you hit a point of like, you're like, this is just not working? Can you tell me, was it a moment or was it like a built up of it?
Honestly, I consider myself very resilient and I'm very strong and I can handle a lot. I don't break. You know, I'm like a diamond. I can handle a lot of pressure. And honestly, it really, COVID forced me to. Like, that was the only way that I was going to stop, because there was no stopping for me. You know, I had to physically get my business, had to be forced under a lockdown by the government in order for me to actually stop, because I wasn't going to. And I was so, it became a lifestyle being busy from the morning till night, you know, shaking, having million anxiety attacks throughout the day. That was normal to me. I thought, I'm like, I'm a business owner. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what it comes with. You know, if I want to have this amount of money, this is what it is. Because again, I come from like a family. It's like, okay, you have to work hard to make money. So it's all this like, it has to be hard. It has to be hard. It has to be hard. So hard was normal for me. When I don't have that mindset anymore, it's completely, completely different, you know? And like I said, COVID, when I was shut down, I was really thinking, and I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. Like, something has to change. Why am I doing everything? Why can't, like, what is going on? What is happening with me? And that's when I realized, like, that's when I started to get more into like spirituality, and I started to really assess myself. And I had the time, for the first time ever, I had the time to actually research and learn. Like, before, I would want to take this training and this course and get this mentor and listen to this podcast, but I physically couldn't do it because I was already doing a million things in a day. Million things. It has cost me, like I said, a lack of time with my family, my relationships. I had a boyfriend at the time and he gave up on me. And I looked at him, I'm like, how can you give up on me? Like, you don't love me. He's like, you're self-sabotaging yourself. You're destroying your own self. Like, and I'm not gonna be the person to watch you do that to yourself. And at the time, I thought that he was the bad guy because he's leaving me at my hardships. But now I'm like, I really was putting myself in a hole and then blaming other people that they're not there to save me, when the only person that could truly save me was myself.
Wow. That's heavy. Thank you for sharing that, Leah, honestly.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned to me in the past, like, some other things that you thought kind of built up to be pretty toxic from your experience. Things just like maybe overspending or always feeling like you had to have like high fashion clothes, things like that. So are there any other toxic habits or things that happen that you want to share? And then what would you warn others of? And that could even tie into what you just shared as well. Like, what are some of those warning signs that we can help hold each other accountable for or identify within ourselves?
I think, as again, I just learned how to do lashes. I didn't learn business. I didn't learn money management or anything like that. And then when money becomes good, especially from a person that didn't have money, obviously they're going to spend it. You know, it's inevitable. And I'm all for go and enjoy it. Hard work pays off, you know, enjoy your money. But I didn't know that in order to grow a business, you need the finances. Money makes money. So again, I wasn't taught that. I didn't know that. I didn't know any of these, like, outsourcing and delegating and training your team properly and the power of a strong team behind you and scaling a business. I just thought that, okay, I'm making money, so now I'm supposed to wear this type of shoes or this type of purse and go to these type of vacations and eat this type of food. It was, I don't want to say it's silly of me, because again, it was at the age I was in, the phase that I was in. But one thing that I would definitely recommend people for other people is, first of all, pay yourself first. Because if you put all the money back into your business, if you don't make money for yourself to enjoy it, you're not going to be able to scale your business, because you're going to lose the passion. You feel like you're doing it for nothing. And there's plenty, plenty of people out there. I highly recommend, if anyone wants to read Profit First, a book, Cheryl probably knows it, but they say it's like, you are your best employee. So if you're not making your money and if everything's going back to your business, I mean, you can write up anything as a business expense, a car, a purse, whatever you want, you know, like, I have to wear a Louis, you know, in order for me to, you know, business expense. So when you keep on writing things off, next thing you know, it's like, okay, well, are you paying yourself? So I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of people, most of the people I talk to, they don't even pay themselves. They have no money management. They don't know how to categorize it. They don't know how to reinvest. Taxes, they don't even put money on the side for taxes. Next thing you know, you get whipped with a $20,000 bill at the end of the year. You're like, whoops, what happens now? So I think, don't just go into it like free-handedly guessing. Do your research. ask people that have done it, that have experience. And even when I opened up a salon, I hired a mentor, and there's so many things that she helped me. Lori, thank you if you're listening to this. But she helped me so much, you know, about like red flags when it comes down to hiring staff or certain expenses. And another one of my mistakes was when your mentor tells you something, do it, because there's been times that I didn't listen to my mentor. And then I'm like, oh, that's why you said that. Okay, now I understand. So I wasted a lot of money, you know, learning yeah. the hard way by not listening to the people that have done it. So,
you know, your qualities, like I share a lot of similar quality as you. It's like a curse and a blessing, like that self-conviction in, like, you know, thinking you know it all. It's what makes you so fearless to go and try things. But then also have blind spot where you're like, what do you know? Like, I know better, you know? And then also, you know, being so detail-oriented, that means you love the finer things in life. So that means when the money comes in, you're just like, well, I love the finer things in life. So I get it. Like, it totally makes sense. So then I guess now we're at the point in your story where you have done all the shoulds, right? The salons and the product lines and all of that. And it doesn't seem to be giving you the results that you have wished for. It doesn't seem like it was as easy financially, and it doesn't seem like it was giving you that fulfillment too. So walk us through the walking away from it all.
My kids, honestly, my kids were the main thing. I'm pretty sure if I didn't have my kids, I would still be operating 24/7 trying to. I would have had that ego that says, no, the pandemic hit. I need to prove it to everybody that I'm able to go through this and succeed, and I'm a survivor. I can go through it. And I had to be okay with being okay with it. Being okay that there is going to be people out there that look at me as a failure, like I give up, you know, like I quit or I couldn't handle it. I had to be okay with that. But I'm also okay with knowing that I'm living a fulfilled life now. I'm pursuing things that really make me happy, really make me, it sets my soul on fire. And not only that, but I've learned so much through my experience that I'm able to help other people now. And I'm like, I've made these mistakes. You don't have to. You don't have to invest, you know, $50,000 on your first order of a product line. I made that mistake. You know, I'm the one who ordered all of these products that are not being used, you know, like certain like accessories that were just sitting on the shelf collecting dust. I didn't know that you can do market study and research and find out what your audience wants before investing in it. All these things, you know, even like courses, like launching courses that are not in demand, like instead I should have focused on the ones that were in high demand and making them bigger and getting educators. I didn't need to do it all myself. I started doing it at the time. I started molding educators and stuff, and they started training for my company. But there's so many ways to kind of release that pressure from you and your business and to have a more fulfilling life, and not just time-wise, energy-wise, and finance-wise. And I refuse to believe that you need to, in order to make money, you need to work hard. I didn't want that to be my story. I know that I can make money. I've proven to myself from the get-go when I was broke. I had only $27 in my bank account. I was a single mom. You know, like from then I proved it, and I proved it to myself again coming to Costa Rica and starting from all over again. So I think you really need the right mindset and the drive, the willingness to get there.
How do you balance that with like hustle culture though? Because, you know, having that like mindset to keep moving forward, sometimes that can kind of, I feel like it's a fine line, or it can fall over to that other side where you get caught up in what you were caught up in. How do you get to that?
That's a really, really good question. I think I still have that drive inside of me. Like for sure, I love, love, love business. It's my biggest passion, but I don't have that hustle. Like you don't need to overwork yourself. How did I overcome that? How do you get out of that? Honestly, I think it's, again, connecting with people that can share their stories and lead you in the right path and the right direction. And a lot of times, like, we're scared. We're scared to take that leap of faith. You know, we're fully booked with clients and we're booking 4 to 6 weeks in advance. advance. And to us, it's like, oh my God, I'm, you know, all my clients love me and they all want me. It's like, no, raise your prices. You know, like, you don't need to be working that much. You don't need to be working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I know plenty of lash artists, they become a victim of their business. But business, the way I look at it, it's like a machine. You can either mold it to operate like on its own to be ease and bring you that energy and that time and the finances, or you can build it into a monster that is literally going to suffocate you, like eat you alive. And that's the point that I was at. My business was eating me alive.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So sometimes I think it's pretty ironic. I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking the same thing as me, that, you know, UA is really in the business of selling products and our intention should want to make our lash artists as busy as possible, right? And we want to encourage them to hustle as much as possible. But if you've been a longtime listener of our podcast, you would know that we're really an advocate of, you know, fulfillment. We're an advocate of disrupting this hustle culture. So I just thought that for a moment and there I was thinking how ironic this is that, like, you know, we're not trying to sell more products. We're actually trying to get people to work less. And I think you have a really good success story with that, Leah. Like, you know, now that you moved to Costa Rica, you have given up the things that you should, you know, have and walked away from what it seemed as extraordinary success. But knowing you on a personal level, I also know that you're much happier now. And you also mentioned that in this podcast as well. So what's changed?
I enjoy life. I'm living life.
No.
I'm not living to work. I'm working to live. Again, it's not about how much money a business makes. It's about the profits. So, you know, yeah, maybe I'm not making the same amount of money that I was before, but profit-wise, yeah, I'm almost there. Starting from scratch, and I'm almost there.
It's amazing.
That's amazing.
So I think that's another thing is like, so many people are like, oh, I made $60,000 in a month. I'm like, all right, well, how much of that did you actually keep? So I'm huge on profit margins. And whenever somebody tells me their business numbers, I'm like, no, I don't care about that. I want to know your margins. That's especially having a salon and the overhead and commissions and like all this operational expenses and the, oh my God, there's so much expenses running a salon. And honestly, I made more profits working from home than I did when I was in a salon. So it's like, what does success really look like? People just look at it and they think they're like, oh yeah, you know, they calculate like, okay, this is how much she's making, this is how much staff she's doing. They're doing all the calculations for you, you know? They're predicting how much you're making, but that's not what it is. There's so much expenses going on. So like I said, I'm all about energy and I'm still all for opening up a salon, 100%. I just think that you need to, if you do want to open up a salon, stick with doing one thing at a time. You know, like if you want to, you know, you're overbooked and you can't handle all the clients, train your staff properly, invest that time. You know, like one of my girls, just by hiring on another girl, she doubled her income from that almost. And now she's on her third or fourth girl. So really investing your time to train them properly. Or maybe if you're not ready to train or you don't know how to train, maybe start out as being an academy first and focus on trainings. Or if you want a product line, just invest. I just think doing it all at the same time, it's one of it is bound to not succeed. You can't. It's like trying to like run all by, this is such a bad example. it's like a race, you know, like a race between the businesses, like the different revenues of businesses. One of them is going to go further than the other. So I always say, choose the one that you love the most, that you're passionate, that financially makes sense to you, and run with that. And once you hit that goal that you're like, all right, now I have the time and the energy to go back and pick up the other things, whether it's a product line or staff or whatever it is, whatever order you're doing it in, then you can go back. But to go in all areas all at the same time, very, very few people succeed in that.
No, it makes a lot of sense, actually. So how do you define success now? And then how is that different than before?
My success is who I am as a person.
Love that.
And the impact that I'm able to leave in this world, the lives that I'm able to change. And when I was only doing trainings, I was able to change lives. You know, I was able to make girls leave their corporate jobs and give them a career that they love, that they're passionate about. But now it's so much more. Now I'm targeting people that I see them as I was back like 4 or 5 years ago. And I see them, they're crying to me. Like in the mentorship calls, I have so many, they're like, save me. Like I hate it. I want to have a baby, but I can't have a baby because I'm working 12 hours every single day. Like I'm getting old, you know, they just don't know how to get out of it. So I'm that person. Like I love helping people and showing them how to do it properly without burning out, without hating your life and hating your money and all of that. So that's my success, is leaving the impact on people's lives and knowing I can do that from a beach in Costa Rica, you know. So and definitely like elevating yourself in all areas of life, not just financially, but like mentally, emotionally, physically. I wasn't doing that before. I was only going, you know, financially, I was going up, but relationship wise, I wasn't. Emotionally, I wasn't. Physically, I wasn't. I'm feeling the best. I'm enjoying it. And
you guys can't see it because there's no video to this podcast, but like Leah has the most genuine, like happy smile on her face just talking about this, because as your friend, I can tell you, like I sent you a message like a little while ago that you're glowing from you're literally glowing from the happiness and the satisfaction. And my big takeaway, just for those of you who are, you know, in that money mindset, and there's nothing wrong with having a goal and wanting to be successful monetarily, but if you're listening to this podcast, I think for me the takeaway is that you don't have to sacrifice at all to get the result that you want, the monetary result, because she's here now. She's working less. She's more happy. She's more becoming a more fuller human being, and yet still making the same profit margin as you were before when you were sounding like you were like being eaten alive by your business, the suffocating feeling that you're feeling. You know, I've been there. You know, I've experienced very severe burnout myself. So I think that the message that you're sharing with our community here is a really, really powerful one. It's one that teaching people, because I think that, like, you know, especially for us immigrant children's, right? It's so easy to fall for the trap because we came from scarcity. Therefore, scarcity is our narrative. But you have changed that. I think that your narrative now sounds like one of abundance. And I want you to kind of, I guess, like, you know, speaking on the helping people, which is what you enjoy doing, I want to, like, listener, know a little bit more about, like, who are these people that you're looking to help? Maybe they're looking, you know, for something like that. You know, they're looking for that mentorship, things like that. So who is the right fit for you, and who would be the right fit for the type of mentorship that, you know, you do offer?
I help both business beauty professionals that are starting their journey in their field, and also people that are already at the level that we were talking about, trying to do it all and just overworking. I help them scale their business to the next level. So the way I look at myself is I give you all the tools, all the resources to basically fast track it. So you don't need to take your time, you know, and spending years and thousands of dollars learning things the hard way and trying to figure it out. You can pretty much fast track that. I have all the resources. I have all the tools, things that have taken me years to discover and years to learn. So not just that, but I'm also your blind spot. You know, like I'm able to see the things that are holding you back. One of my mentees, actually today we just had a follow-up call from one of the VIP days that I offer. In 30 days, she just actually messaged me right before we started this podcast. The numbers improved. But since 30 days from our VIP day, she more than doubled her income.
Wow.
More than doubled her income.
It's amazing.
And I told her, I'm like, even if you didn't double your income, you can just replace your income by working less. So before, you know, regularly she works 5 days a week, 7 hours a day. And now she can potentially just work 6 days a week, 6 days a month. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's just to have that, to be able to make an impact in someone's life in a matter of just a couple phone calls, you know, like in a month, and just being there for them. And it's so, so fulfilling to me. I feel so good about myself. And my story is only beginning.
A great way for us to wrap up this episode is that maybe I would like you to share, spend the next couple of minutes, just you have the floor to just share whatever wisdom that you want to share with our listeners, whether it's about the pursuit of life and happiness or in business, but you know, you have the floor and just share your wisdom.
I guess what I want to leave off people with is you don't have to step away. but you can take a step back. Because when you take a step back, you will be able to gain a brand new perspective. You will be able to get your creative juices and the ideas and all of it, like the ideas, the imagination, all of it will come to you. And I think a lot of us, like business owners, we operate on survival mode. We're like, how can I get more money? How can I get more money? And that's not where money comes from. Money doesn't come from chasing money. Money comes from bomb ass ideas that change people's lives or products or whatever it is. When you can create an impact, that's where money comes from. So that's what I recommend. My greatest ideas, like I invented a dual certification program with other educators just by going on a walk in a park. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? And I'm like, wow, I wish I invented that years ago. And now not only am I making passive income from it, my educators they don't have burnout now because they don't have to teach theory. My educators have my online training course as a theoretical part of the training so they can focus on the things that they really love teaching, which is actually hands-on eyelash extensions. Not only that, it's a triple win. Also, their students can learn better because now they can rewatch the course over and over again if they need to afterwards. They got two educators as opposed to one. And again, I would have not been able to come up with this idea have I not stepped back. Have I not just like, okay, let me think, what do I want to do? What is important? And if it doesn't feel right, if you don't like it, if you don't enjoy it, you don't need to do it. You don't need to do it. But at the same time, there will be transition phases. So understand that in order to get to this place, you will need to be a little bit uncomfortable. Stepping back does feel uncomfortable. Changing things in your business feels uncomfortable, but nothing ever good comes from a place of comfort, in my opinion. So
that's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.